Live. We are launching into the third hour of the program, inviting you to take control of the airwaves at 855-453. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. You can interact in various different ways on the site, and one of them is by actually controlling the content of the site itself. So in order to do that, you can submit different items to the website. It could be a news item, could be a blog post, could be a YouTube video, whatever you think's interesting or fun or useful, you submit it to the site. Other listeners will vote, and the most voted will make the most voted up, makes it to the front page and the top of the site at freetalklive.com. So head over there and get interactive. It's all free, freetalklive.com. Last hour, for those of you just tuning in, we were talking about etiquette with Michelle, and this is something that you wanted to talk about. So there was a discussion on the table about what it really is. Is it just this arbitrary set of rules, like, you know, Ms. Manners, or is there something more to it? Now, you're pointing out there's something more to it, and that is that the idea behind etiquette is to make other people feel comfortable, not to force other people to adopt your set of arbitrary standards for how to eat a meal, right, or whatever, but to change how you behave based on what other people their comfort levels are. Is that right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's my desire to make other people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't do this perfectly. And, you know, sometimes I can make people feel really bad. And you know, as a daughter or a girl in a family where there were some brutish guys, I kind of learned how to use my behavior and the things I say to get power, you know, in a family where it was, you know, physical, you know. So if I wanted to, my brothers hit me or something, I could, like, say something to them or do something to them that, you know, to, you know, retaliate or whatever. And I think that that's kind of, you know, it's kind of common, I think, to human beings to, you know, do that to each other, and instinctual maybe. And so we get to rise above the, you know, the nature with the choices we make. And, you know, I guess I might have misrepresented what Jason Talley had, you know, said based upon, you know, in the last segment, and what he had been critical of, and just there, you know, he came over to the studio during the break and clarified something, and you know, communication, it's so important that we use words and we clarify our meanings, and even if we define words the same, just the fact that I'm a woman and you're a man, or there is I'm from the West Coast and you're from the East Coast, or whatever, there's so many things that make communication
difficult.
Yeah, so I think having some grace and extending people the courtesy of making them feel comfortable is a nice thing.
So Glenn had the question, and he's still with us listening in Connecticut. Glenn's question, and please correct me if I'm recapping this, Glenn, was essentially you've got a situation in which somebody needs to, you want to communicate to them that their etiquette is not appropriate, and you're asking how one could go about doing that. Is there something specific to which you're referring, like a specific situation?
Yeah, like, for example, my family has awful table manners.
The whole family? How would you how do you know if you were raised there?
Yeah, well, when I was younger, I don't think I was even conscious of it, but it's not my entire family, but certain members of my family have just really, they do a lot of things at the table that just gross me out, and it makes it to the point where I don't even want to be there eating with them.
Like, give me an example.
I'll start soft. Something like a minor thing would be, if a member.
I mean, they don't pass the salt with the pepper when someone asks for it. I mean, or
I think it's more of a germy thing. Like, for example, somebody like needed to move my glass the other day, and so this was at an Easter kind of dinner. So they reached and moved my glass by at the rim of the glass where you drink from.
Sure.
So did they, hold on, before you go on, did they grab the glass on the inside and the outside with, like, a thumb and a forefinger, or did they use, like, all four fingers and their thumb to sort of pick up around the edge of the outside of the rim?
Exactly, around the edge of the outside rim by cupping it with all
thumbs. It'd be worse if they grabbed it with a thumb and a forefinger on the inside and the outside and kind of sloshed their thumb around in your cup, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
So, now, this is an interesting question because Michelle's definition of etiquette was that it's something that you do to make other people comfortable. So, if it's not your dinner table, is it any of your business to be telling people how they should be behaving at their own dinner table?
No, well, I wouldn't do that because that would make – I would feel uncomfortable making them feel uncomfortable. I'm just like the type of person to say, okay, I'm not going to drink from that glass right now. But, like, it's really it's very annoying. It's to the point of grossing me out because it's not – that's just, like, one simple little incident.
I guess if it's in regard to your particular table setting and everything, what you could do is you could offer to set the table the next time. You could offer to clear the dishes. You could do things so that you can avoid having the inside of your glass, you know, what have you. But I guess to your original question, if someone is doing something that offends you, how can you address that or correct them?
I'm not really talking about offense. I'm talking about real gross out here. I'm talking like somebody eats from the plate of where the common food is served and, like, you know, eats and puts their fork into it.
Make it funny,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I would make it funny and say something like, dude, that is so, you know, and you could say, dude, that is so gross. And maybe use hyperbole even, you know, just make it so ridiculous that...
You want me to move that a little closer for you?
Exactly. Would you like a shovel?
I can just put some gravy on it right here if you want.
And laugh at it too. Or you know, maybe if it were a younger person or someone who's a little bit more fragile.
That's the thing. It's usually an elder. It's usually somebody older. So I don't really feel comfortable, I guess. I'm not really quick with hyperbole like that. And I know it works well. Yeah. People have done it to me. But it's usually we're talking about elders here. So it's just like... I don't know. It's not easy to, like, come off in a lighthearted way and tease them about it because they're just like, well, what is this young person teasing me about for this for? Like, how the nerve of them or something like that, you know?
The only way that I can think of is using the hyperbole would be like saying, oh, I guess I'm not drinking out of that glass anymore, you know, and those kind of things. It's just letting – I've been let know in the past when I've made etiquette mistakes and people have said things like that, and it helps me. I know in the future I won't be doing that.
Yeah, I guess.
You talk about people's food, they're picky.
So my other grandparents, I learned a lot from my grandparents, actually. My grandfather used to play a lot of cards. He was a bridge player and played poker, and he played with the same group of guys once a week. And one man would go to the bathroom, and he would never wash his hands afterwards. And it just, you know, made my grandfather ill because he'd come back and he'd touch the cards, and they were all touching cards. And then you'd get up and you'd eat something, you'd have, you know, you'd use your glass or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this person had clearly not washed their hands. So one time, my grandfather went to the bathroom and he came back and he wetted his hands with water before, and he just rubbed them all over his friend's face and said, oh, there wasn't any toilet paper. I mean, it was awful. It was awful. And it shocked the guy. And he was like, oh my gosh, that's so gross. And all the guys at the poker table said, that's exactly what we think when we see you leave the toilet, the John, without washing your hands, dude. And so they were able to, they all confronted him at the same time, but they did it in a way that was like, they had an intervention that, you know, came out of a funny little thing, which you can do that sort of thing when you have an intimate group and you know each other well. But
yeah,
I agree that it is difficult if it's family that you're only seeing once a year or something, in which case I just say, let it go.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah, that makes sense. They'll just let it go. What are you going to do, right? I mean, you can not drink out of the glass, or, you know, you could just go up and get your own glass, right? If you don't want someone to pass the glass to you, you could just stand up and then break etiquette yourself by reaching across the table or just, you know, whatever. They obviously don't care, so
One more question, then. This has to do with the etiquette. What about personal space issues? I find that even outside the family, a lot of times you can be around people who, like, just get your personal space, and what do you feel the best way?
Step closer to them. Step closer. And step closer to them. And then they step away and make eye contact, and they go, oh, whoops.
Glenn, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing
you.
From you. Good luck with the family dinners. 855-453, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up what you want, talk about etiquette, whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live.
That was fun, girl. Jacks. Hooray!
JacksDice.com.
Where if you could buy, sell, or make a deal?
JacksDice.com.
Turn into the house of blogs!
JacksDice.com.
And what if you could watch ads and get paid for it?
JacksDice.com. Jacks Dice is
here on Free Talk Live, we've been pretty excited about the Bitcoin. It's a decentralized, free market digital currency. You can learn more about it at weusecoins.com. But if you already have some Bitcoins and you'd like to spend them, you can spend them at spendbitcoins.com. When you spend Bitcoins on Amazon via spendbitcoins.com, Free Talk Live gets a cut. Or if you're in Australia and trying to figure out how to buy Bitcoins, you can buy them with cash at au.spendbitcoins.com. Once again, that's spendbitcoins.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number is 855-453. The SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site. You can enjoy those, including news updates. We'll clue you in whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Go to news.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up. Follow us via email, Twitter, Facebook. Those options are available to you, and they are all free, of course. news.freetalklive.com.
Bitcoins are the world's first potentially anonymous digital cash. With Bitcoins, there are no contracts to sign or terms of service you've got to abide by. Anyone can download the free Bitcoin software and be using them in just a few minutes. With Bitcoins, you can send and receive money anywhere in the world, no fees, without needing permission from any bank or government agency or whatever. To learn how, visit weusecoins.org. You've got to find out about Bitcoins. They're changing the internet as we know it. Weusecoins.org. And now, thanks to BitInstant.com, you could have Bitcoins in less than an hour by depositing cash at any major bank. Buy your Bitcoins with cash. Visit BitInstant.com. It's BitInstant.com.
All right, we continue. We will take your calls about whatever's on your mind. Nick is on the line in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Michelle, and Mark. Hello, Nick.
Hi. Lately, I've been wondering whether or not it's consistent for liberty-minded people to advocate certain, if any, policy positions other than complete structural changes. The example that I came up with is seatbelt laws. It's all well and good to advocate that the government relinquish its monopoly on the administration of roads, but other than that, I'm not sure it's right to advocate, for example, that people be allowed to go without seatbelts, because as long as the government holds that monopoly, everyone has to follow the same rules, and that means that people who don't want to share the road with non-seatbelt wearers have to, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, this is the
tragedy of the commons.
Yeah, one of these things. For instance, when it comes to schools, some people will say, well, you shouldn't advocate for vouchers because it's really not even it's not a big enough step towards liberty, and you really need the whole thing or nothing. And I've heard these, and there is a microscopic chance that you could be thrown from your seat and not be able to control your car and as good of a fashion because you don't have a seatbelt on, every time you drive. So there's that chance, and somebody may say, well, I don't want to drive on a road with people who don't have seatbelts on because they're not as safe of a driver. And it's true, they would be a marginally safer driver if they wore a seatbelt. But
wait a minute,
my concern is generally the human projectile problem. If two people get in a head-on collision and one of them's not wearing their seatbelt, he's going
to
fly.
You want to be able to
person.
Crash into someone and not have their body come flying through your windshield.
But hold on. Don't the studies show that when people have safety mechanisms on the road that they drive less safe? Wouldn't it be true that someone driving without a seatbelt may
it's
be driving
better? It's a
choice
that a person may make.
But now, isn't that a status way of thinking, oh, our position is right because we've got all the studies behind it?
Well, no, I'm not saying my position is right or wrong. I don't care whether you wear a seatbelt or not. So I really guess I don't understand your question.
Well, the problem is that if we advocate, against seatbelt laws, the fact is that people who want to only share roads with other seatbelt wearers have no choice but to share the roads with people who might not be wearing their seatbelts, and so they have to take on that risk. That they might get into an accident.
I don't want to share the roads with elderly drivers who can't drive, but that's none of my business.
And that's why I'm saying...
I don't want to share the road with anyone because I want to be able to use the whole thing so I can go sideways around the corners. It's awesome.
Drifting.
Yeah.
Right. And those are all good arguments for why we should have all private roads. But we don't have that, and so I think that we run into a problem where no particular administrative, no particular policy position is the correct one other than we should have private roads.
His statement is, in the absence of a free market, should we be advocating for limited steps in towards freedom when other people who do not want those freedoms perhaps may not like them?
Well, I always advocate for total freedom in every single area, but fact is, here in New Hampshire, every now and then, there's some control freaks that want to pass a seatbelt law. And in that case, what's wrong with opposing those people? I mean, luckily, I guess here in New Hampshire, we don't have to advocate to get rid of seatbelt laws because we don't already have them. I guess they have them for kids under, teens and young people, I guess, under a certain age. But for the most part, for adults, there's no seatbelt law. I mean, would you say, Nick, that we shouldn't be opposing the imposition of those laws?
Oh, I don't have an answer in particular. I just wanted to bring up the question and entertain the idea.
So you like that whole fine tuning, you know, we're all the way down at one end of the spectrum in terms of the conversation right now.
You know, I mean, it's a valid statement. Look, I believe that I should have the freedom to decide whether or not I wear a seatbelt on a road that I paid for. Well, other people say to themselves, I believe I have the right to dictate whether or not people put seatbelts on a road that I'm going to get on and my safety's in, you know, in danger because of it. So these are both valid points in a situation where people are forced to pay for the same road. Because you have everybody forced to pay for the same road and people don't opt in for the particular road that they want, you know, I mean, it's like having that can of tuna fish where you don't get to say how it's been fished for. Oh, this isn't the dolphin-free tuna. Why should I have to pay for it?
Mark, thank you for articulating for me.
Great. Maybe I just don't see what the relevance of all this is. I mean, everybody's got their pet issues. Everybody has things that are important to them. So Michelle's working on, you know, some freedom to travel issues. I think the war on drugs is really important. I've done freedom to travel. I'll support Michelle on her issues, and she'll probably support me on my issues. I've never really had anybody approach me and say, hey, you shouldn't talk about that because it's not big picture enough. I think that, you know, everybody should focus on whatever it is that they think is important, and let's not concern ourselves with those details.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because of a conversation I had recently with my father, where it was actually in the context of single-payer health care. And the thing is, I can see the case where maybe I would want to live on a plot of land owned by a corporation called the Government of Massachusetts, maybe not in Massachusetts, but a private corporation called that, which acts like a government, except that instead of using force, it just uses, you know, it follows libertarian property rights principles. And one of the things is, if you want to live on that land, you got to pay the rent, and the rent goes towards health care for everyone who's on that land. You know, that's a single-payer system reenacted in a private fashion. So there is nothing unlibertarian about single-payer health care, and that means there's nothing unlibertarian about most particular policy positions. It's the structure that's the problem,
not the force. It's the force that's the problem, right? I mean, the liberty-minded people believe in eliminating force from human relationships, or the aggressive force.
So people who don't want to ride on roads where people don't wear seatbelts should not be forced to pay for those roads.
Sure.
Yes.
So why would you advocate for, in an instance where they are forced to pay for those roads, why would you advocate that they be forced to pay to ride on roads?
Well, this is the same argument that those people will make to say that we would be forcing our liberty system upon them just in general if we were to get our own, not just to look at the little issues that we're talking about here. But
I don't think it does.
It's the same argument saying that, well, if you guys have your way, you're forcing your freedom onto me, and I want to be oppressed. It's the same viewpoint.
Everyone should have to smoke pot to drive a car because they've now found that their marijuana users are safer driving.
If you want to have oppressors, that's fine. And if Nick wants to stick with us here, we can continue the conversation. 855-450-FREE. I think it's absurd to suggest that we're forcing freedom on people. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. Get Seeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer, localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbors' manufacturing businesses.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Bring up what you want. The number is 855-453. It's the SACL CAI toll free line. You can join us on our website over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that await you there. freetalklive.com. We've got news updates. As was mentioned before, we've got the Shrine of Female Listeners. We've got the mobile site, the webcam. You can watch, you can listen, and interact with other Free Talk Live listeners at cam.freetalklive.com. That's all completely free, as is the rest of the website, cam.freetalklive.com.
You can join more than a million people who've trusted LegalZoom.com for their common legal documents. You can incorporate your business, create a will, or a living trust, or register a trademark, or any of the day-to-day kind of legal documents that one needs. You know, I hear now you've got to have some kind of document outlining what will be done with you if you end up on life support. I believe that's called a living will. You can get all these things at LegalZoom.com, and it's easy. I went and did my will over there. LegalZoom.com. Use coupon code FTL to save $10 off your order. It's LegalZoom.com.
So we've got Nick on the line in Illinois, and we're going to bring him back on here. And let me make sure, because, Mark, you seem to really have a grasp on what it is he's saying. So let me recap basically my understanding of what he said before, and tell me if I've got it straight or not. So he's saying that take some little change to a law, like, say, seatbelt laws, for instance. Should liberty-minded people be advocating for a change in a seatbelt law to, say, make it so it's not illegal to wear a seatbelt, as it is in 49 of the 50 states. We don't have to deal with that one in New Hampshire because it's not illegal to wear a seatbelt. But in any other place, to be advocating to change that particular law...
It's not illegal to not wear a seatbelt.
Did I say that wrong?
Yeah.
It is illegal to wear a seatbelt, to not wear a seatbelt in other
right.
places. So the idea would be to change that. Nick is saying, should we be advocating for little changes like that when some people could be offended by that and say that, well, I want to be on a road where...
It's not offended. It's against their rights. The right is to be able to choose a road in the same way that you should be able to choose to ride on a road where you're free to ride around without a seatbelt if you wish, because that's what freedom is. They have the right to be able to choose a road where they... Do where everybody has
is
to.
Is it also their right to choose a road where there's no one with a red car?
The
on
problem,
you have the right to
yes,
drive on your own road. That's it. You don't have a right to drive on anyone.
You do
else's
have. A,
road.
You have a right to choose whether or not to ride on a road that has no red cars on it, because that's your right as a consumer. I will not pay for a road that has red cars on it. Mm-hmm. I refuse. Mm-hmm. So if that means you do not ride on roads because they will not, none of the road owners will outlaw red cars, that again is
it's
your
choice.
Right. So the question is should you be, you know, what's the issue here as far as should we be forcing people who want to, you know, force others to do certain things that they think they're a better way to go about things. And I think wearing a seatbelt's a better idea than not wearing a seatbelt. But should you be forcing those people not to ride on a road? And I would say that you should, because they're working within a paradigm. They're willingly working within a paradigm where, the monopolistic paradigm that is the state. So if they're willing to operate within that system, I will stand up for their right to choose a private road that has people with has no red cars, or you know, people are forced to wear seatbelts or whatever. I stand up for their right for that. However, since we have a monopolistic system, and they seem by and large happy with that monopolistic system, then I'm going to try to show within that monopolistic system that freedom works in many, many different ways. And you can show people, look, this works. And then, therefore, you know, it's an opportunity to show people.
Nick is back with us. Nick, your thoughts?
Mark did a pretty good job describing it, but I'd like to elaborate. You said before the break that it sounds a lot like the argument that statists use when they say, well, you're trying to force your liberty on me. I think what that is they don't have the vision. They have sort of a failure of imagination on their part, because people who are statists naturally think that if you want to abolish the government, that means you want to abolish all of the things that the government does.
Mm-hmm.
And
as opposed to allow for an open market where there could be
right.
competing sources for that, and there isn't a monopoly on the force, which
right.
is what Ian
and,
said in the first place.
Right. And I try to spread the message of liberty by explaining to people that, even if you can't imagine any other way for it to work than just sort of roughly how it works now, even how it works now can be replicated in a libertarian system. I mean, the typical response to people who say you're trying to force your liberty upon me is, well, no, we're not. You know, if you're a communist, you can go buy a plot of land where everyone is communist and you live in the communistic way. You can do that.
Right, or if you want to be told what to do, you can find someone who will tell you what to do. Go ahead and hire a dominatrix or
right.
hire whoever it is that's going to make you feel nice and controlled. So, right.
Exactly.
But as long as I can opt out and say no or opt
yes.
into your thing, then
yes.
my freedom's intact.
And in the current system, nobody can opt out of the roads, and the roads in a given state or whatever all have to have the same laws. There's no freedom of choice there. So should we be advocating? I don't think we should be advocating any particular way that those roads should be administrated, because the real source of the problem is that the government has a monopoly on it.
Well, I disagree with you completely, because I'm going to advocate any increases of freedom that I possibly can. To take your argument would say that we should shut our mouths about medical marijuana, and we should shut up about decriminalization, because if we can't have full-on drug decriminalization, then we shouldn't be talking about that. And I think that we absolutely need to talk about freedom in whatever, as many areas as we possibly can, and
otherwise you won't be able to show that freedom works.
works.
Yeah.
I mean, if there were no states that chose to force medical marijuana upon their constituents, because a certain percentage of their population doesn't like the idea that people would use marijuana for medical purposes, if there were no states to show that, then you wouldn't be able to, because if there wasn't a 12th state, there's nothing to say that the 13th and 14th states would have come along. Many of the states likely at this point are coming along because other states have been willing, because California was willing to do it.
Yeah. Well, Nick, you made a claim that drivers who wear seatbelts tend to be safer, but there is an argument that drivers who wear seatbelts are not safer because they...
Mark was the one who made that claim.
Okay, so...
The claim is that drivers who are in accidents can best stay behind the wheel if they are strapped in behind the wheel.
Sure. I thought someone made the claim that that drivers are safer if they're wearing seatbelts, da-da-da. Anyway, whether that was said or not, SalemNews.com, Salem is the capital of Oregon, and it comes out of this news article, came out April 10th.
Get to that in a moment. Nick, I want to thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. And I'm glad you're out there advocating, principled positions. I think we need people doing that, too. Like, hey, we should have it all when it comes to liberty, but unfortunately...
One last thing. Yeah. This argumentation that just happened did change my mind, and next time I call, I'll tell you how my mind was changed and the details.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate the call tonight. 855-450-FREE is the SACL CAI toll-free line. So what do you want to share about driving?
this study done by an insurance company, and it's in the insurance company's best interest to be insuring the safest drivers because they don't want to have to pay out insurance, right?
Correct.
So they did this study, and it was a blind study done on regarding marijuana users. And they've found that where marijuana has been legalized or decriminalized, whatever, and that there's a 9%...
So medical marijuana?
Yes.
Okay.
That there's been a 9% decrease in... traffic-related accidents, and that
goes along with a study that we saw from the Australian Department of Transportation that said that marijuana smokers were just a little bit better drivers than regular drivers.
So right. So if we're going to talk about forcing people to do things because it's for safety, everyone should have to be made to smoke marijuana before they drive.
Which of course we're not talking about doing.
That's
that. 855-450-FREE. That's because we don't believe in forcing people to do things they don't want to do. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
I am so excited about Porkfest this year.
Porkfest? What's that?
It's the Porcupine Freedom Festival, a fun and educational camping event put on every summer by the Free State Project. This year it's going to be happening June 18th to the 24th at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire.
Okay, I like camping, and I definitely like freedom, but my budget is tight.
Tickets are only $30 for the whole week if you get them before May 1st.
Well, that sounds reasonable, but what goes on there?
What doesn't go on at Porkfest? There are speakers, family fun, dance parties, karaoke, a comedy roast, hiking, campfires, sports, a wedding, and all kinds of delicious food. But the part that I like best is spending time with other people who love freedom.
That's sounding pretty good to me. Where can I go to learn more?
Check out porkfest.com and make sure you spell pork like a porcupine. PORCFEST.com. Like what you see?
It looks like a blast. Okay, I'm in. See you at Porkfest.
While you're there, check out how you can become a VIP, very important porcupine, for a modest donation. See you at Porkfest.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com. Civilian Emergency Dispatch System. Peace through preparedness.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live, you can take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll free. 855-453 is the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-855-453. Here with you tonight is Ian,
Michelle,
and Mark.
We invite you over to our website at freetalklive.com. And if you like the show and want to help support Free Talk Live, you can promote us using the free bumper sticker that you can get simply by getting the details on how to do that over at promote.freetalklive.com. That's promote.freetalklive.com. Plus, there are web banners that you can use on your site. There are high-res graphics that you can use for whatever purpose that your imagination can come up with. And also flyers you can print out and other things like that over at promote.freetalklive.com. So we've been talking about marijuana and driving, and there's been another study done, which, as you pointed out, Mark, kind of echoes some studies that have been done in the past. The Australian Department of Transportation was one of them, but that study's been duplicated.
Yeah, right. At this point, there are several studies that show, apparently, that people that are stoned drive at the very least as well.
People that are on marijuana. I guess you could use the
on
term
the dope.
Stone for
yeah.
something
on the
else.
Dope.
People that have smoked marijuana recently drive generally as well, if not even a little better, than people who haven't been driving. And it's mostly because they drive slower, I think, is the suggestion.
I don't know. That's a good question. I would like to see if that's a factor, if that's also something that's included in the studies. Is that something they observed? Is it that because they drive slower is why that's happening, or are they just more tuned into different safety factors than somebody else might be who's not in that mindset?
I am way less dangerous on the road when I'm high than
do you
when
drive
I'm
slower?
Yes, I okay. do drive more slowly because I'm just chilling out. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's
what's
so pretty.
What's the rush?
I'm listening to my music. I'm just twirling along. Now, if I've had two cups of coffee, just like everyone just go. Scatter. I have somewhere to be and I'm going to be there now.
I think that's very interesting because, so caffeine is certainly a drug that people would say makes them, many people will say makes them more agitated, makes them, more impatient, and several things you would not want people behind the wheel to be feeling like.
Sure.
And it's interesting that a mind-altering substance like marijuana is, that is verboten behind the wheel. Whereas, what I guess would be more of sort of an attitude-altering substance like caffeine isn't. Because if I have a Diet Coke, I am going to be a madman behind the wheel.
Yeah, Diet Coke and me are like really bad.
It's not going to go.
But I don't drink alcohol and drive. I don't.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I would smoke a joint and drive way before I would ever have a beer and drive.
I don't think it's a good
just
idea.
One beer?
Nobody's
going to
like it.
I'm kind of chubby right now, but I mean, when I'm like tiny, one pint of beer, and I'm like, woo! Mm. I mean, a couple shots, and I'm dancing on the table.
855-450-FREE is the toll-free number here. Hey, have you guys heard about the augmented reality glasses?
Yes.
Have you heard about these yet?
Is that Michelle? Like rose-colored glasses? I want some.
No, it's something completely different from rose-colored. You can put your own rose-colored glasses on anytime you want. But augmented reality glasses don't exist yet, but they're coming. And so Google is actually working on these right now. And I guess there's news all over the place about it, but New York Times is reporting on it. If you venture into a coffee shop in the coming months and see someone with a pair of futuristic glasses that look like a prop from Star Trek, don't worry. It's probably just a Google employee testing the company's new augmented reality glasses. On Wednesday, Google gave people a clearer picture of its secret initiative called Project Glass, the company's first venture into wearable computing. The glasses aren't yet for sale. Google will, however, be testing them in public. In a post shared on Google+, employees in the company laboratory known as Google X, they asked people for input about a prototype of the Project Glass. Project manager Steve Lee, originally worked on Google mapping software Latitude, is responsible for the software component of these. He says, "We're sharing this information because we want to start a conversation and learn from your input. Please follow along as we share some of our ideas and stories." And I watched the video that had to do with this, and it's pretty cool. I mean, imagine having your smartphone on your vision, essentially. So
it's a heads-up display.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No.
No? Why?
Ian, I still don't have Porcupine 411 on my phone, even though Mike Hampton programmed it for me and Dahlia, did something else to my phone. I'm illiterate. I want to be able to send a smoke signal.
The cool thing about technology is it's getting to be easier and easier for people that aren't technologically literate. I mean, these glasses
terribly unsound.
Are intended to, have icons like the temperature. You look up towards it and it pulls down wouldn't it be nice to know the temperature sometimes? What's the weather forecast for today? Just by having
I go outside and if my right knee is, a little bit in pain, I go, "Oh, it's going to rain."
Well, I guess these aren't going to be for you, Michelle, but I think a lot of people...
Listen, Luddites talk like this. She's got a cell phone.
She does.
She carries it around with her.
I have a computer.
Yeah.
She's not really a Luddite. And of course, like with any technology, there's going to be two sides to this coin, right? So on one side, it's going to be cool because, you've got your heads-up display. You don't have to have a cell phone. It's always going to be there in front of you, so the ease of access is better. Probably the battery life will be longer.
I think a heads-up display comes from the military, like a fighter pilot has a heads-up display.
Right. So to describe what that means, imagine having, like you were saying, the temperature kind of interposed on your vision, your field of vision. It's there. You can still see everything else that's going on around you, but, oh, look, there's the temperature, or here's a message coming in from Michelle. She just texted me, and there it is on...
And if it was a message from me, there'd be, little twinkle lights that went on.
Little pink. It could be in pink
or something. Yeah.
So envision
that's
this.
I'm going to spend my time setting it to do that.
Envision this coming onto your actual field of vision, rather than you having to lift up a screen and put that in front of your face. Your cell phone. And of course, the weird thing about this is it doesn't have any kind of hand interaction. Like the way they're doing it on the video is it's all by your voice. So it's like, set an appointment for 10 o'clock tonight, go get movie tickets, etc., or whatever. The guy is just giving voice commands to his glasses.
I think that they pulled some stuff out because some of it I didn't feel like it was all voice command that the glasses were taking. I felt like it was taking eye motions too.
it could very well be that as well. But my point being, you're not going to have a controller. There's nothing that's going to be in your hands. It will either be your eyes that will be motioning, or your voice will be controlling this. Or maybe they'll jack it straight into your brain.
Who knows? The part that freaks me out is that, you know, I know this is probably silly, but I'm a little bit afraid of all the technology.
Yeah,
I am.
Technophobe?
You know? I am.
No, I think that it's reasonable to suggest that if they jack and you know a computer into your brain, that a computer virus will go around and turn people into zombies. Yeah, I think that's you know that it's absolutely possible. Sure.
Sure. And you know, on the negative side of this, at least now when someone has their phone out in front of them, you know it, right? You know mm-hmm. that someone's phone is in front of them because
they're not paying attention.
Right,
they're
not paying
attention
to you.
Yeah, because they're sitting at my dinner table and I say, put your phone away.
Right, and it can be
a matter
rude.
Of etiquette.
Right back to etiquette. And right, so like sometimes when this happens, and I'm guilty of it too, but I'll try to be cognizant of it and I'll say something like, phone party or something, and that way people will be aware that everybody is kind of turning into themselves and they're going into their little device
right.
because it's really an antisocial thing to
yeah.
do, even though you're typing to someone, and technically that's socializing. It's not actually social because you're not making eye contact.
Yeah.
You're not actually
not
having
social.
A conversation. It's not really. It's faux social, if you will. And so with these glasses, presumably the people that are on the outside will have no idea what you're seeing because the images are not available
seems
to them.
Reasonable.
And so therefore, if someone has these glasses on, at any time they could be receiving a text message. At any time they could be, you know, doing something with those and ostensibly, supposedly making eye contact with you as well. So how distracted are the people wearing the glasses going to be when having a conversation with somebody?
I'm thinking that that there'll be some tells. You know, I mean, you've got to, at this point...
Like an erection or something?
I don't think...
Start talking to themselves.
Right. At this point, you have to control it either by eye motion mm-hmm. or by voice. So therefore, when they're looking at a text... How are they going, you know, they're going to have to touch the glasses, they're going to have to talk to the glasses, or they're going to have
yeah.
to look off into the, you know, the upper corner of the room. And so you're going to be like, are you paying attention to me? You haven't seen this commercial, but it's this couple sitting at a table, and the guy's going, ooh, and, yes! And the girlfriend's having an important relationship conversation with him, and he's, are you watching the game on your phone? Can I just summon footage to my phone? What am I, some kind of magician? And sure enough, that's what he is doing. But that's the idea. So it's,
yeah.
you know, it's a clever
yeah,
way.
I'm a little bit more tactile. I want to be able to feel things, touch them. You know.
Well, this is the way things are going. You're going to see more of this in the future. More, less in your hands, more in your eyes, possibly jacking
into
your
brain.
Oh, I
want to be in someone's hands, not
all
your eyes.
Ooh, let's see you tomorrow. Online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.